continued surge in coronavirus cases has left officials with no other choice but to seal off the Victorian state from the rest of the nation.
The COVID-19 outbreak in the city's southwest is intensifying. We have just learned there are 9 cases of coronavirus linked to the outbreak at the Crossroads Hotel.
And so it seems we're back. Back where we started. Back to the fear and uncertainty. As it currently stands, there are over 1,400 active cases of coronavirus in Victoria, with hundreds of extra cases being added every day. The border closure between that state and New South Wales may have come too late, as we nervously watch the fallout of a cluster in Sydney's southwest. So, how did we get here?
The fact that there are outbreaks is expected. We've known that both New South Wales and Victoria have been having small numbers of community transmission cases.
Sanjaya Sananayake is an associate professor and infectious diseases expert at the Australian National University's Medical School.
And we knew as we lifted restrictions, there was always the chance of an outbreak occurring. So the outbreaks themselves aren't unexpected, but certainly the size of the extent of the one that's happening in Melbourne is quite worrying.
The heavier restrictions we all lived through over the past few months were put into place to give our health services the time to build their preparedness for a heavier influx of patients. The nightmare scenario to be avoided was that of Italy and Spain, doctors deciding who could access limited ventilators and who couldn't. In other words, who would live or die. Does the current outbreak threaten to overwhelm us too?
No, I think the health service has the capacity to look after these patients at the moment, but I guess we wouldn't have wanted it to be such a big outbreak in the first place.
That outbreak, as we all know, is centred right now in Melbourne. But is it simply a matter of time before we see similar outbreaks around the rest of the country?
Not necessarily. In terms of most of the other states and territories, they have gone for quite a period without locally acquired cases. So in those areas, unless they've imported them from Melbourne or New South Wales, they may not see outbreaks. So it certainly is, with the movement of people, it's certainly a possibility, but it may not happen.
Meanwhile, we all wait with bated breath. But for Melbourne, fear has become reality as the city is wrenched back into lockdown. 1,000 army personnel have been sent in to conduct testing and police hotel quarantines. 700,000 school children will revert to remote learning. Everyone is readjusting to a depressingly familiar loss of liberty. The impact on mental health is of significant concern.
And across the board too, it's not just mental health disorders like depression and anxiety. We're also seeing that people's general mental health is declining.
Louise Stone is also an associate professor at ANU's Medical School, who specialises in mental health. She says a second lockdown carries psychological risks of a special kind.
I think we had in the back of our minds, even though we probably wouldn't say so, we had this hope that maybe we'd dodged a bullet, maybe Australia wasn't going to have a second wave, maybe we'd fixed it by going into isolation. And I think Melbourne has given us a demonstration that that's not true. And that's quite confronting, I think, for people, because we're beginning to realise that our way of life may be permanently changed. It's not just a temporary thing we have to survive. It's a permanent change in the way that we live our lives, and that's very difficult to cope with.
While almost all of us can say we've shared the emotional burden of experiencing lockdown, that burden is not felt evenly. Some groups will be experiencing a more acute fear re-entering lockdown.
So parents of newborns are a classic. People are having their babies and are no longer able to see their families or stay with their families, for instance. The second thing I'd say is our nursing home patients and our elderly patients who, of course, are isolated, which is making things difficult. Patients with chronic illness, patients who are in hospital, palliative patients, and carers of people with disabilities who aren't able to access the normal services that they would normally access are having to struggle on alone, and I'm finding carers are carrying a lot of load.
There's another uglier aspect to the pandemic.
We've had some terrible behaviour from the community. One of my colleagues is an Australian-born doctor, but of Chinese origin in his family, and he had terrible vitriol targeted towards him early in the pandemic because of this idea that Chinese people were the cause of the threat. And we're seeing it again in the Melbourne towers of people blaming certain members of the community.
In light of the current outbreak and with a vaccine only a distant hope, there are questions of whether Australia's strategy of containment, as opposed to New Zealand's policy of elimination, was the right one. Despite the frightening implications of doing so, we may yet need to change course.
I think it may be worth considering an eradication strategy once again, particularly focusing on New South Wales and Victoria. But of course, to get there, then we would have to think what restrictions would be required, for how long, and what are the costs.
Sanjaya Sananayake, Associate Professor at the ANU Medical School, ending that report.